Yeah, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Red's Ice House in Beaumont. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, presented by Miller Lite and Coors Light. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780-ESPN's your number if you want to text the show. Also get us on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz. Click like. Send a message. If Aaron likes it, he'll read it. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real, at Aaron is blitzed, at the producer Nick, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. And we are live on location at Red's Ice House in Beaumont. So if you're just getting off work, you're a communist if you don't come out here and you're in the area. In fact, you're a worse person than Miles Garrett if you don't come out. That's just a fact. That's not even disputable. If you missed the first hour, a lot of Miles Garrett and a little college football talk there.
Hey, we talked about Rodney Reed the other day, the guy who's about to be executed on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Texas Court of Criminal Appeals issued a stay of execution today. Hours after the Texas Board of Pardons and Parole asked Greg Abbott for a 120-day delay to his execution in response to a clemency application from Reed, whose lawyers say there's new evidence that could exonerate him. The Innocence Project, which is providing his legal counsel, has continued to seek clemency for him, celebrated the development in his case. So the court cited concealed information, false testimony, and possible innocence in its last-minute decision to stay Reed's death sentence, which has captured national attention in recent weeks. So anybody who, when I said tweet it, Governor Abbott,
yeah.
Anybody who did it may have saved a life. Good for you guys.
Well, possible innocence. That's the phrase. You read that and you go, okay, yeah, so you're staying it for 20 days. Possible
120 days.
Oh, okay, possible innocence?
Well, I mean, obviously they've got to look at some stuff.
Yeah, I know, but that's a little scary.
Boy, did you see this tweet from Jamal Adams?
I did not.
So Leonard Fournette said something about Jamal. This is Leonard Fournette tweeting about Jamal Adams. Jamal ain't tell y'all, our sophomore year in college, they had a fight at Lance Party, and he was under the table hiding. Where that chip on your shoulder was then? And Jamal Adams said, makes sense, coming from the cat that quit on us and faked an injury.
Ooh.
Ow. Some old LSU guys going at it.
Yeah, that's a...
kind of like it.
Little tiger on tiger
crime. I kind of like it.
Oh, all right. This is the part of the week where we go through the NFL games one more time against the spread and see where we're leaning. So we shall start it off with Cowboys-Lions. That number now 6.5. I think the Matt Stafford not playing factored in that. It opened 2.5. I still think inside a touchdown. I know it feels square. I think the Cowboys are the better team. I think without Matt Stafford, I don't really think the Lions can give them enough. And I'm finally willing to forget about that Jets game for the Cowboys. So I'll lean Cowboys here.
I'm kind of the same way. What's the total now on that game?
47.
Oh, I was hoping it'd come down a little bit more when they announced Stafford wasn't going to play.
Yeah.
But it feels like an over game to me, even without Stafford. So I like the Cowboys too, though.
Saints -5.5 at Buccaneers. This is another one. I think the Saints get right here. I think last week was an aberration. Feels awful square to get 5.5 points on the road, but
yeah. Remember, the Bucs were 3-point dogs at New Orleans. I mean, this number doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, but wasn't that Teddy Bridgewater?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Drew Brees.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was the difference, really, between them? Between what they were doing statistically? Drew Brees isn't doing, like, crazy Drew Brees things.
No, but he's still, like, 50 yards more game passing, higher completion percentage. I mean,
I'll take Tampa as a dog. Okay. I like Tampa there.
Panthers -4.5 at home against the Falcons. I think it depends on how much.
Boy, that number's gotten smashed down.
Yeah.
Did it open at 7?
7.5.
Yeah, I would have liked the Falcons there. It's a no-go for me now.
Yeah, I think inside of 7, I'd probably lean Panthers. If it had been outside of 7, I would have taken the Falcons.
I will say this. Defensively, what the Falcons do best is stop the run. And if you say Kyle Allen's got to go out there and beat somebody, I think we've seen Kyle Allen, Mason Rudolph, Gardner Minshew, all these guys who had these nice little breakouts, they've all kind of come crashing back down to earth. Kyle Allen's well into that category. He's not very good.
Well, that's the thing. Teams figure these guys out.
Yeah.
And we saw it with Minshew against the Texans. They did a terrific job. I mean, yeah, you're 2 for 300 yards, but he also had 4 straight turnovers in the fourth quarter.
I think what last week showed you is that the Falcons haven't quit, even though, I mean, they probably should.
Yeah, they should quit.
They haven't quit. So, for me, it's Falcons or pass.
Colts -3 at home against the Jags.
I like the Jags.
I do, too. And I know Jacoby's going to be back, but I think with Nick Foles, you're going to see why the Gardner Minshew thing was cute, but they're a better football team with Nick Foles.
What's the total there?
43.5.
Under.
Okay.
I think there's a grinding game. These defensive coordinators familiar with each other. They've worked together before. I think that it turns into sort of a rock fight game.
Vikings -10.5 against the Broncos. It's too many points for me, but
it's too many.
Because I think the Vikings are going to win the football game.
They should be able to call it, but yeah, I'm not giving 10.5.
Jets +1.5 at Redskin.
I like the Jets.
I do too. I like the Jets.
The Jets stopped the run. If you're going to tell me Dwayne Haskins is going to go win a football game, good luck. I'll take that bet.
If he goes back to Ohio State, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the Jets have been super Jekyll and Hyde. Everyone got really excited when they beat the crap out of the Cowboys. Sam Darnold was the savior, and it turns out maybe not. But I still think this Jets team, just based on talent, is better than the Redskins. The problem is I don't want to really bet money on Adam Gase. That feels bad, but if I had to pick a side here, it's Jets.
Sometimes the best bets, we always talk about it, the ones you have to hold your nose.
Yeah.
Like when I bet the Dolphins last week, I was holding my nose the whole way. But, hey, I feel that way about the Jets. In fact, this is one of my favorite games of the week. I think the Jets are the better football team. Not by much, because they're both crappy teams. But I think the Jets are going to win this game. Here's another one I feel a little square on. Bills -6.5 at Dolphins. I think the Bills get right this week. I really do. I think the Dolphins, because of the last 2 weeks, everybody's like, maybe they can get it done here. I think the Bills are going to bounce back from last week, and they're going to put a whipping on them.
This is a buy low, sell high spot, certainly. And, you know, I look for those to begin with. But speaking of lines, less than a month ago, the Bills were 17-point favorites over these same Dolphins.
Yep.
And what have the Dolphins done since they beat the Bengals and they beat the Brian Hoyer-led Colts on a missed extra point? I don't believe in the Dolphins all of a sudden. They're still a really, really bad team. And I get people saying the Bills are overrated because of their record, and they are. They're not as good as their record says they are, but they're a lot better than the Dolphins.
Agreed.
The other thing about the Bills, to beat the Bills, you've got to run on them. And the Dolphins can't run the ball.
Who's going to get all the carries?
They're like, I think they're averaging like 2.7 yards per carry or something like that.
That's 3 games. That's below average.
That's below average.
Yeah.
I just think that this is a bad matchup. I think it's a bad number. I like the Bills, too, under a touchdown.
Texans-Ravens, we've talked a lot about. Ravens -4. I am not playing this game. I think if I...
That's a tight line, certainly.
It's what?
It's a tight line. It's right where I think it should be.
Well, and I kind of feel like this is going to be a one-score game. The question is it a touchdown game or is it a field goal game?
Yeah.
And if you think it's going to be a field goal game, you take the Texans. If you think it's going to be a touchdown game, I think you take the Ravens.
Well, I've been saying I think the best move on the Texans, particularly if you get a 4.5, which I don't know if I saw it pop up earlier. I think it's been pushed back down.
It's actually gone back and forth. It's like one day it's been 4, the next day it's been 4.5. Right now I'm seeing it at 4.
If it's at 4.5, I would highly recommend using the Texans in a 6-point teaser because I think 10.5 pushes them out of range of that's out of the range of what I deem possible for the Ravens to do to the Texans. I don't see them blowing the Texans out. So if I were going to play this game in some kind of way, it would probably be that, trying to take them from 4.5 to 10.5.
Yeah, I think that's a really smart. I think that's a smart way to look at it. The one thing I would point out about the Ravens, Michael Pierce didn't participate today in practice. That's a big loss if he doesn't play.
Yeah,
because that's what stops the run for them, and we do know the Texans can run the football.
You say that's what stops the run for them.
Well, but that's,
nothing really stops the run for the Ravens.
But he makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
And I think that gives a slight edge to the Texans in the running game because you know, if you can get Carlos Hyde 4 or 5 yards on those first down runs, then that sets up everything else they do.
I would say I think the Texans do have an advantage in the running game. Not that I think they're a better running football team than the Ravens, but because the Ravens' defense is worse at stopping the run. The Texans' defense can stop the run, although Lamar Jackson presents a totally different puzzle than anything else they've faced. The Ravens are not good against the run. I do expect Carlos Hyde to have a big game. And if you're into daily fantasy or something like that, that's a guy I would look at. I'd probably look at his, like for a prop bet, his over yards, because the Ravens are not good at stopping the run. And they are good at holding the pass. They're good at rushing the passer, and they're good on the outsides. They've got good safety play. They are going to make the Texans run the football, and I think the Texans will probably look to take advantage of that.
Well, if you're talking about fantasy, I would consider Duke Johnson as a very cheap option and the tight ends, because the one thing they're not good at is linebacker, and I think that's where the Texans will attack them through the air.
Yeah.
More so than they do on the outside, because the Ravens have really good corners. Doesn't mean Hopkins can't beat those guys, but I think on a more consistent basis, you'll be able to beat the linebackers. 49ers minus 10 against the Cardinals. It opened 14, down to 10. I kind of would like it to be outside of 10 for me to take the Cardinals. I'd like it to be 10.5.
I played it earlier in the week. I'm trying to find my number. I played Arizona plus 11.
Okay, that's a good number.
I'm with you. I'd like it outside of 10, too.
But Arizona's been pretty solid. They don't win, but they hang around. And yeah, they're a team that, you know, nobody's going to look at and say, oh, this is a good football team, but they do just enough to cover, and I think this is a good spot for them to do.
Well, where Arizona is vulnerable is you can throw on them, and if you're telling me Emmanuel Sanders is a game time decision, hasn't practiced all week, I'm guessing he's not going to play. George Kittle's a quote unquote game time decision, hasn't practiced all week, I'm guessing he's not going to play. The 49ers' weaponry beyond those two guys, it's pretty slim, so I tend to think that gives the Cardinals a little bit of an edge. I think they'll be able to stay in this game. Cardinals can run the ball. And lately, everybody's been able to run the ball on the 49ers. You know, the last 3 weeks, they've given up more rushing yards per attempt the last 3 weeks than anybody in the league. So I think the Cardinals can have some success here on the ground, enough that they can keep the game close. I also like it as an under game, under 45.
All right, we'll get to the others when we come back. But, you know, a great place to go watch the games this weekend and play some poker. Lions Poker Palace.
Yeah.
How about that? And, guys, the first...
Imagine going and while you're watching football, you're making money.
Exactly.
Oh, that's great.
Winning tournaments or winning at cash. If you're going to play cash, the first 80 players before 11:55 play free all day. So no fee. And if you're after that, guess what? It's only $10 an hour. And tournament-wise, they got a good one tonight. 6:30, $10,000 guaranteed for $150. About that, $10,000 guaranteed. And they always beat their guarantees over there. I mean, they do such a great job. Mr. Lyon, George, Najib, they run a first-class room. I promise you, go check it out. You're going to love it.
Yeah, you are. And Fred and I play in Vegas all the time. You're not going to find a room like that. I mean, this is the nicest room in the city. It's beautiful. Great food. Fred mentioned TVs everywhere, security everywhere. And it's just BYOB. It's the kind of spot you want to play at. Check them out on Facebook to keep up with all the tournaments, things like that. But go in and check it out for yourself. 6134 Richmond Avenue in Houston. It's Lions Poker Palace.
This is The Blitz.
The Blitz. On ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Red's Ice House in Beaumont. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Presented by Miller Lite and Coors Light. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, live here at Red's Ice House in Beaumont. And love, just love coming here. Love the love we get from... Beaumont. please stop buying me drinks. I'm at my limit. I love you guys, but no more drinks. Thank you. All right. So
peace and love.
Yes, indeed. And a shout out to Donnie, who came and got her book signed, who listens to us all the time and is listening to us now on the way home. So thanks for coming out. Glad you liked the book. Lots of exciting stuff coming.
It was huge. It was giant.
Yeah. That's the giant one thing that stuck with you.
Bleep was giant.
That one freaking line. There's so many great lines in that novel,
and that's
the one that stuck with you.
That was the best.
Forget all the good messages that
they
send.
No, those were stupid.
Well.
I only like his bleep was giant.
Yeah, well. At least I know to try to include that in the sequel so that you'll have something to look forward to.
I like that you're the only book. Yours is the only book I've ever read where there's murder by penis.
Well, there was also shark and other stuff in there, too. That's the scene I get questioned the most about.
I wonder why.
Well, and
mostly because I thought that was your character the whole time.
It's not my character. I wasn't one of the characters.
I thought you were that character.
No, everybody thinks that.
I know. Because it's very much like you.
I thought of myself more as like a hybrid of Jesse, Michael, and Lewis.
No, you were him.
Well, regardless.
It makes me wonder what happened to you in your childhood.
Nothing like that. But, I mean, there's some of the stories are based on things that I was actually told. That's not one of them. That one I created. So, the idea was that particular character, for him to have to do what he wound up doing, he had to have something really horrible happen in his life.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the most horrible thing I could come up with.
That's
so
pretty bad.
But if you haven't read it yet, still available, JesusTheNovel.com. Please check it out. Sequels in the works, movies in the works. Everything's just happening with that, and it's fantastic right now. And we're starting to get a lot of push nationally on it, which is even better. All right, let's go to the last three games that we haven't – well, four if we count Monday night. Patriots -4 at Eagles. Boy, it's rare when you get the Patriots at -4, but I think I like the Eagles here, man.
Yeah, I sort of lean that way, too. I know it's easy to think, well, revenge, Super Bowl revenge, or what. I don't really look at it that way. I just look at it as it just seems like this is going to be a close game.
The Eagles are getting healthy and getting better.
I think that there's still a lot of questions about the offense for the Patriots. I don't think they're very good. So I think the Eagles can hang with them. I like the under in this game more than anything. But yeah, if I had to take a side, it'd be the Eagles.
Raiders -11.5 against your beloved Bengals.
It's out of control now.
Yeah.
I mean, at 10, I would have bet the Raiders. 11.5, my goodness.
I mean, wish I'd gotten it when it opened at 8.
It's an over game, certainly. I don't know what it's up to now. I played it earlier.
48.5 is the number.
Okay, I think I played it 48. So that's the one thing I do feel good about. No, I played it 48.5. So the Raiders can't stop anybody, and their offense is legit. The Bengals are horrible on defense. I think it's a lot of points scored in the game. I think there's a lot more Raiders points than there are Bengals points to be had out there.
Yeah.
But I don't know if there's 11.5 more. That's a lot.
I think the Raiders are starting to get a little too much love from Vegas. Bears +6 at Rams.
I don't want to bet on either one of these teams. It's an under game. I mean, these are bad offenses. It's funny to think that, you know, when we think about what the Rams were just last year.
Right.
And we look at them now, all the offensive line injuries, everybody getting older. It's just it's a bad offense. There's really no two ways about it. They're not an efficient offense. If I had to play a side here, I guess it'd be the Rams because I can't give the Bears any money. They're so bad on offense.
I'm with you, but I also think they can get pressure on the quarterback. And if you get pressure on Jared Goff, it disrupts the entire offense. I just don't know that the Bears can score enough. I guess I'd lean Bears, but this is not a play for me.
Yeah, and it's a gross game.
Yeah, it's not even a hold-your-nose game. It's a just plug your nose up and don't even do it. And then Monday night, the Chiefs -4 against the Chargers. I like the Chiefs to get right here. I think last week's game especially was kind of an embarrassment. They dominated that game and lost. And I think they come in, and the Chargers are playing better. They usually get better as the season goes on. But the fact that it's in Mexico City, not that the Chargers would have any home field. I like the Chiefs here. I think they cover. I think they win pretty easily.
See, I think this is a lower scoring game than your typical Chargers game or a typical Chiefs game, I mean. This is it's a no play for me, but if I had to play a side, I'd play the Chargers. The Chiefs are apparently going into Mexico City late because they went last year early, and then they canceled the game, and right. They were all pissed off. So they're like, we're not doing that again. The Chargers have been practicing all week in Colorado at the Air Force Academy, like getting ready for the elevation, getting used to things.
See, I think that's a little overblown with these teams because they both play in Denver every year.
Yeah.
And I like the idea of going in late to both London and Mexico. It seems to work very well. So
yeah, it's a stay-away game for me. I would lean Chargers.
All right. I mean,
they just run the ball. They're going to run the ball well, I think.
Well, everybody runs the ball against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of stock invested in Austin Ekeler in fantasy.
As you should. Melvin Gordon, too.
Albert says, I need a pick for this week for the survival pool. Raiders over Bengals or Niners over Cardinals?
I would take Raiders.
I think so, too. I feel much better about that. I think the 49ers win. But the Cardinals are just scary enough.
Well, the Niners have a bunch of injuries.
Yeah.
That's scary. I mean, if they're going to lose a game, it could easily be that. And plus, they're coming off their first loss. You never know if a team's just, like, flat after the first loss of the season. You
right.
go 8-0, 9-0, you finally lose one. You don't know what to expect after that.
They could come out and stomp them. They could come out and be flat.
I think the Raiders are the easiest survivor pool play this week.
Mon asks, Fred, which scene was worse, American History X or Pulp Fiction? And you know what I mean. American History X. The shower scene. Yeah. Well, actually, there were two scenes in that movie. The shower scene.
And the curb stomp.
And the curb stomp.
I don't know, man. Marcel is taking it while the other guy's like, yeah.
Dun-a-dun-a-nut, dun-a-dun-a-nut. Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty
It was bad. And that one was a little creepier because while Zed was doing his business, the other guy's sitting there sweating.
Yeah.
It was really gross. But I think American History X was just because it was pure violence, you know, and the aftermath where he couldn't walk. And if you don't know what we're talking about, you'll have to go watch those movies because I'm not gonna describe it on air. You probably got a good idea just from listening to
More
that.
More than likely.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN is your number. I think the worst scene like that, though, and it wasn't as nearly as bad in the movie versions, was Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. The book version of that was awful.
Yeah.
And
I've heard that. That's a...
Because it went on for like a day and a half.
Yeah.
And it was just... Yeah. So... but, you know, I mean, if you're into that sort of thing, read away. those books... The books on that were really, really good.
You're not into that sort of thing, are you?
No, I'm not into it. Yeah, I wrote a scene like that. That doesn't mean I'm into it. By any stretch.
Of course not.
It was a plot device.
Right.
That's all it was. And I resent the fact that you're...
I just asked. It was a simple question.
You're trying to turn it into something it's not. You know what the early line is on Texans-Colts Thursday night?
No.
Care to guess?
That is here, right?
Yeah, it's here on a short week.
Texans minus 6.
5.5.
Okay.
So, and yeah, that's it'll be real interesting to see if that number moves a lot. For instance, if the Colts hammer the Jags and the Texans get beat by the Ravens, I bet you it comes down. But that seems about right. All right, we're going to take a very quick break. Do not go anywhere. And if you're in Beaumont, you need to be out here at Red's Ice House or else you're a pure communist. And not a good communist. Not the communists we like, but the bad ones that we used to want to kill when they were Russians.
They were the worst.
Yeah. All right, quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Red's Ice House in Beaumont. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, presented by Miller Lite and Coors Lite. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Back at Red's Ice House in Beaumont.
Clearly, the alcohol has hit the both of you.
I've had one beer.
One beer?
That's it.
Well, you were late for like 30 seconds of that segment.
Oh, I'm sorry, Nick. I'm talking to the people who paid for us to be out here.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking to the Popes.
No.
Oh, okay.
I was talking to Chip.
Oh, my bad. I didn't see Chip.
Yeah.
My bad,
right there.
Chip and the Popes.
Right there in his puffy vest. That's Chip.
You know, I don't want to say anything, but isn't it kind of your job to let us know a little sooner?
I was yelling into the mic. I was saying, Fred, AJ, you know, come back.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
I don't remember that either. I was lying. Yeah. I never said that.
So, fake news.
Fake news.
Hashtag fake news. I don't think this is true. Somebody said the guys before were comparing that to, like, Nolan Ryan and stuff like that, and you were here. The way I heard it, because I listened to quite a bit coming in, very similar to what we thought. You cross the line when you use a helmet as a weapon.
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of what Joel and Barry were saying?
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I really disagreed with Joel was he was trying to make a comparison to the Kermit Washington, Rudy Tomjanovich thing, and I just think it's a completely different, like, dynamic. It could have been worse in the event that Myles Garrett caused Rudolph to, you know, his career to be over. That's essentially what happened. You impacted Rudy Tomjanovich, like, his quality of life completely changed when Kermit Washington hit him. I just think it's slightly different. That's the only thing I disagreed with. But for the most part, that's pretty much the take that they had.
Yeah, even the Rudy thing, I mean, it was a fight where the guy landed a bomb on him.
Yeah.
And he didn't use something from – and it was bad. And Kermit Washington – had his life ruined, too, over that.
Absolutely.
And from all indications, he wasn't a bad guy. He was just a guy that had a bad situation and got into a fight and broke a guy's face. And, you know, but this, yeah, I think if you cross outside the lines of, you know, it's not ideal to get into a fight on the field, but it's going to happen. And if you're throwing punches and you break somebody's jaw, not ideal.
No.
But it's not the same as taking an actual weapon and trying to harm somebody.
Yeah, that changed. That, to me, that's where it went from being a football fight to something different. You know, there's a line.
Be like if, you know, you're in a boxing match and you run and grab a microphone off a table and bash a guy in the face with it. I mean, you can't do it. It changes everything.
It's like in a wrestling match where you've got a good, clean wrestling match going, and then somebody brings in a steel chair and hits somebody with a steel chair. Now
you can't do that.
That's cheating.
Yeah. Two at once.
If the ref sees it, that's a disqualification.
Yeah, but usually when you do that, the ref has his back turned, I've noticed.
Well, yeah, if you've got a good manager. And
somebody distracts him, and then you go and get him.
I'll be honest. If Myles Garrett had a better coach, the coach would have distracted the refs. While
and
Myles
the cameras, Garrett, and the cameras.
And the cameras.
If Freddie Kitchens had just taken off his shirt,
imagine that.
The cameras would have been on him. No one
would
have seen
it. Oh, my God, Freddie Kitchens has his shirt off. And then that's when Myles Garrett was supposed to swing the helmet. But he clearly doesn't watch enough pro wrestling.
Nope.
Sucks for him.
281 says everyone should have a GIMP locked up in their basement.
I don't have a basement.
Yeah, I don't either. It kind of, like, my first
floor
feels
like a basement.
It also seems
like a lot of work to feed and house a GIMP.
I don't have to feed the GIMP.
There's a lot of cleanup involved with that rubber costume.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's not for me. I'm good.
832 wanted a Baytown Badass for his birthday yesterday, and you were about to do it, and then we got on something else.
Hey, man, happy birthday, man. I hope you have a good one out here, man. I'm going to drive back through Baytown on my way home. Shout out some of my folks. But, yeah, man, hope you have a good one. Break down some film later for you, man, for your birthday.
713, I completely disagree. Since Kermit and Haynesworth's situations were both worse because neither guy was participating in a fight, they were cheap-shotted. Yeah, you know what? Like, hitting a guy in the head with a helmet is not cheap-shotted. That's 10 times worse, man. Come on. Come on, guys. I don't know why you're trying so hard to defend
the
guy.
I mean, stomping a guy while you're wearing cleats.
It sucks.
That's next level, too.
Yeah.
To me, that's worse than hitting someone with your hand, even though the result of what happened to Rudy T was obviously much more damaging. That's still, like, you know, it's a cheap shot, I guess, but it's also, it's hitting a dude with your hand. It's not like, it's not using a weapon.
Yeah, the results of that turned it into a lot more than what
exactly.
It was. And in this case, yeah, if the guy's skull had broken open right there on the field, yeah, maybe it's...
Well, Myles Garrett would go to jail.
Maybe so. I don't know.
But I think you would.
I'd get a good lawyer. I mean, if OJ can get away with something, So can Myles Garrett.
I mentioned the whole Brian Cushing.
Fred, how could you? How could you say that about your boy OJ?
And
I never killed anyone. And again, everybody knows it.
And all of you keep saying, what about throwing a 100-mile-an-hour baseball at somebody's head? The guy's wearing a helmet. Okay? It's not the same. Please stop trying to equate things to make this guy look like
he's... And I'll be honest, I don't think anybody tries to throw at people's heads on purpose.
No.
I mean, I'm sure it happens sometimes, but I don't think that anybody's like, you know what, I'm going to hit this guy in the face with a fastball. No, you're trying to hit the broadest part of him. You're probably trying to hit him in the back. That's if you're throwing at a guy, that's usually what you're doing.
And, guys, I'll make this real simple for you because we already dealt with all this in the first three segments of the show, and I really don't want to go into it anymore. So go back.
I want to rehash it over and over.
You can go back to podcastarena.com and check it out. But whatever you're trying to compare it to, the only comparison is the guys who use hockey sticks in a fight. That's similar. Or if you take a baseball bat to somebody in a fight on the field. Otherwise, this other stuff you're trying to deflect with doesn't work. So, you know, sorry. God, I don't get it, guys. I don't. You know, I know a lot of you defended OJ, too.
Not really. Almost nobody defended OJ.
No, that's not true, man.
The entire community defended him.
Oh, really?
There were people who cheered when he got. Yeah, I don't know how you remember that, but
I guess I was young. But
yeah, you were probably too young. But it was split, man. It was about 50-50. I know the other olds in here will agree with me because they'll remember that trial. But there were a lot of people who were celebrating that OJ got off. So
the juice is loose.
Indeed. 713-780-ESPN 830 says everyone I know defending him are Aggies. I don't know about that. Do you guys still love him that much? I mean, I don't know. I don't know that they're Aggies. I think there's some people who just think it's okay to bash people on the head with a helmet.
Well, it ain't cool.
You know, and if that's your belief, okay. Not really much I can say there.
Yeah.
Then I disagree, and you probably need counseling. And counseling's a good thing. Have you seen the latest Don Cherry thing?
No.
Like, same thing. People are coming out and defending the hell out of him, right? And I'm going to go on record. I think I said this the other day. I think Fox News should hire him because all that stuff he said. If he says it on Fox News,
is there a Canadian version of Fox News?
Not really, but.
Because I don't think enough people care about Canadian politics here to really.
No, but he gets in on American politics too.
Okay,
yeah, he's pretty popular in the States too. I mean, it's the whole Hockey Night in Canada thing goes to the United States. Did that count?
Yeah,
because that was pretty friggin' weak if it did at 5:41. But Bobby Orr came out and defended him, and he basically said, "You people who come here, that's what got him."
You people.
Somebody said we cheered in our third grade homeroom when OJ got acquitted.
Damn.
There were people who really believed he was innocent.
No, there's not.
No, there were.
There might be people who were happy that, you know, he got away with it because
I'm
the LAPD was dirty. And
you were too young to remember this. I lived through the whole thing. There were people who believed he didn't do it because he was Norberg from Naked Gun, because he did the Hertz commercials. He was beloved, man.
And I think it was
nobody
just,
believed that he was capable of that.
I think it was because it was after the Rodney King stuff. It was like because the LAPD tried to screw him over, and because they mishandled it so badly, that I think that there were some people who were happy that he got off.
No,
but I still think they thought he did it.
No, it was a lot. You're not remembering it right at all,
man.
Trust me. In fact, I want to say there's more people who wanted him to get acquitted than wanted him convicted.
More people?
Yes.
Or more black people?
Well.
Just say it. I mean,
it was definitely a racial divide. There's no question.
I need to hear from some of our black listeners who are over the age of 40.
Well, yeah, 281 says there was a racial divide on OJ, but there were white people who wanted him to get acquitted too, I promise you. But it was mostly a racial divide, no question. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
I'm from the trench, I got the dirty money rent.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
I don't know how I could explain that in a cooler and more doper fashion.
You're listening to an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Red's Ice House in Beaumont. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Presented by Miller Lite and Coors Light. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. And, guys, they've got seafood now here if you want to go check it out. Shrimp, they've got snow crab, they've got all kinds of stuff. So go out back. Get your seafood on, and here at Red's Ice House in Beaumont. Man, a lot of people were, Greg the Beer Man says, AJ, we were 15 when the OJ trial was going on. We weren't that young.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Well, I just think you remember it very wrong, because Mr. Gray says, I was in middle school when he was acquitted. The cafeteria erupted in celebration of the judgment, teachers included. I remember this well because it gave me a chance to steal an extra chocolate milk. And Sean said, we were more happy for Johnny Cochran, that was pretty good, than O.J. O.J. left the black community years prior. But Adam says, my uncle to this day believes O.J. is an innocent man, because why would a big sports hero ever commit a crime like that? That was the mentality, though, I promise you. And that's why everybody was mesmerized by that trial. Nobody believed that Norberg was capable of that. He was beloved, man. And that's one of the reasons. Even to this day, I remember before the verdict, one of the jurors, a white juror as a matter of fact, before they read the verdict, looked at O.J., smiled, and gave him a thumbs up. So, yeah, sometimes it pays to be old, because that was one of the things from my journalism days that we covered the living crap out of. And there were debates, there was all kinds of stuff about it. So, all right, someone said, regarding O.J., a lot of black people simply refused to even consider he was guilty. I'm 46, and my father and I got into arguments over the case. So.
Well.
And A94 says it was a clear racial divide. I don't remember one white person who was happy about it. I do. There were people I work with that were happy about it. I mean, you got to be kidding me. Because he ran for 2,000 yards, he lopped off a couple heads.
Yeah.
And I think.
It just seemed so obvious to me, but.
It seemed obvious later. That's the problem, is at the time, there was a lot of reasonable doubt.
During the trial?
Yeah. And that's why he got acquitted. And the whole
Well, he got acquitted because the LAPD mishandled.
No, I believe me, I think he had the best lawyers on the planet. And the more that came out, all you had to do was create a little reasonable doubt. And that's what they did. The glove thing was the clincher. You know, he's supposed to be wearing these gloves, yeah, and he can't get them on. And that kind of stuff created doubt. And there were people who believed he didn't do it until the years after, when he's writing books about it.
All right.
And more stuff's coming out, and then you realize, okay, yeah, he really did it. So, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776, if you want to get in. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Okay, I forgot who sent me this earlier in the day, but it's one of our regular listeners. And this goes back to May, where three judges from Indiana got into a fight.
Court judges?
Court judges, yes.
Okay.
Basically, they were drinking before a judicial conference. Then they decided, hey, we're going to go to a strip club, something called the Red Garter. For some reason, that went awry, and they wound up at a White Castle in Indianapolis. And it was a woman and two men. So apparently they took a number of actions that, quote, discredited the entire Indiana judiciary. All three engaged in judicial misconduct by appearing in public in an intoxicated state and behaving in an injudicious manner, and by becoming involved in a verbal altercation. Then it became a physical altercation. So,
with each other?
No. What happened was a vehicle was passing by, And the female judge basically shot the finger at him. Well, the people in the gun park their car. They start trading insults. It turns into a fight. And then the guys in the car basically pull out a gun and shoot two of them.
The judges?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
They were
That's probably bad for their lives going forward.
They were wounded and required emergency surgeries. The female tried to stop the fighting by pounding on the door of White Castle for help and calling 911 once shots were fired.
Jeez.
While at the scene, she was recorded on video telling police detectives, "I feel like this was all my fault." She was intoxicated enough that she lacks any memory of the incident. So here's the story. Three judges go out, get drunk, try to go to a strip club, fail, wind up at a White Castle, start a fight with two guys in a truck, get shot.
Yeah, that's not great.
So court says the penalties that they have put against the judges are not primarily to punish a judge, but rather to preserve the integrity and public confidence in the judicial system.
Not wise, guys.
And when necessary, to remove those who are unfit. So the bottom line is, if you're a judge, well, first off, don't get drunk and go to a strip club. And maybe avoid White Castle.
All right.
And that is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Tamara Steelers girl, speaking of reasonable doubt, how do you feel about Ray Lewis's situation years ago? That one was, that's another one where the more that came out, the more it looked bad. But this is why you have people who will close ranks and not rat you out.
Yeah.
And that's why he was able to beat it. Now, I don't know if he did it or not, but somebody in that party killed those guys. And yeah, that was another one that got a lot of attention. And same thing, people didn't want to believe, oh, Ray Lewis couldn't have done that.
Because Ray Lewis talks about God.
Well, yeah, and nobody who ever talks about God ever did anything
right.
Bad. So, yeah. But it was interesting because things were a lot different. Because that was back when newspapers and TV were the only way you got your news. And people were riveted to this stuff. And, man, we sold so many newspapers just because of Ray Lewis and OJ. And people, they couldn't get enough of it. They consumed every bit of it. And now weigh all this out on social media. And so when something happens, we've already made up our minds on Twitter. But it was a different world then. Not necessarily a better world.
Well, it was certainly a different world when the OJ thing happened. I mean, Ray Lewis was... Not that, I mean, OJ was post-internet, but not post-everybody having full access to the internet.
Right. I mean, it wasn't what it is today. There wasn't the social media. There was
the
internet.
Yeah. Ray Lewis, though, I mean, there wasn't quite social media per se, but there was definitely access to message boards and things like that that people were using to talk about things like Ray Lewis.
Somebody wants to know, what are the main differences in the Houston listeners versus the Beaumont listeners?
What I've noticed is listeners from Beaumont are from Beaumont, and then the ones from Houston are from Houston.
Well, I think the ones from Houston are...
But have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Although...
Almost exclusively.
No, I'll tell you what. I know you're joking, but one thing about that is actually accurate, most of the people here grew up here. Most of the people we see in Houston are from Chicago or California... Or, you know, some other lesser place, and they came here. So, there's that. But they're all, I mean, all the Blitzers are cool. We love them. Doesn't matter where you're from. So,
I've noticed is people here like to get Fred drunk.
Well, people like to do that in Houston, too.
That's probably fair.
They like to take advantage of me. It happens. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, RJ Bell time. Well, not quite.
Nope. 6:15, yeah. Fred. We've changed it.
I know. I'm so used
Poor
to him being
dummy.
There at 6 o'clock.
Jeez.
It'll be RJ Bell time in the next hour.
Someday.
Not someday. Today.
Today, Junior.
All right. Quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Ghost in the afternoon.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city.